celebrate an event that we know to be true and affects our lives so deeply. We're here to celebrate the risen King, the Lord that we serve. And you're here for breakfast, so I'll try not to take too long. But we'll get right to it. Shalom. Shalom. It's a Hebrew word meaning peace, harmony, wholeness, prosperity and welfare, tranquility. It can be used to mean both hello and goodbye. As a Jewish rabbi in the first century, it would have been a common way for Jesus to greet his followers. And today I also wish you peace and harmony and wholeness. It's a good morning. It's a good day to say hello. I've been working my way recently through the book of John, and I've just really been struck by the way that the book of John is laid out. You're welcome to turn there in your Bibles. We'll be working our way through chapter 12 through about the end. Or if you want to open your app for that. The first part of the book of John talks a bit about Jesus' ministry, but by the time we get to chapter 11, we are within the final months of Jesus' life here on earth. Some scholars say that all of chapter 11 through the end of the book happened possibly within the last 2 weeks of Christ's life on earth. Others say most likely within the last 4 months of his life. And when I try to wrap my mind around how much of what we believe and what we quote and what we talk about really happened in such a short amount of time, I'm amazed at who Christ was, is, and what it calls us to be. So I'll start it. John chapter 11, verse 40. This is Lazarus being raised from the dead. I think that you know some of the background here. Jesus is connected with the family. He's related with them often. Or not related as in blood relation, but he's interacted with them. But Lazarus passed away. And the people are sad. I'll just start here at verse 40. And Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, that you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Lazarus, come forth. There was power in the word of Jesus. There's power in the person of who God sent on this earth. Power over death and power over hell. If you track along through here, then it's just after that event that the Jewish leaders are aware of Jesus' popularity. They don't like it, and they're looking for ways to kill him. To kill him and Lazarus. Chapter 12, Jesus begins to predict his death. But before that, take a look at chapter 12, verse 12. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. So this was what we celebrated last Sunday, on Palm Sunday. This is Jesus' glorious entry into Jerusalem. People were excited. We're glad to see him. And I apologize. I thought about it now. I don't mean to give you a rerun of what we've been studying for the last week and a half. I am a history teacher, and so it's pretty common for me to try to place an event in context. So, sorry, we're building up to it, but I don't mean this to be a rerun of what you've been studying. So there's the death of Lazarus, the raising of Lazarus, Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. Chapter 13, they head for what we know as the Last Supper. This was toward the end of that week, on Friday. But it begins with such an act of service. Chapter 13, verse 4. Or you start in verse 3, I guess. But he rose from supper, laid aside his garment, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. We talk about this passage at communion. We head into the foot washing service. But Christ the Lord, the power of creation, the power of life itself, the power to raise Lazarus from the dead, the one who entered Jerusalem with the shouts of Hosanna, is washing his followers' feet. So we have the power and the servant leadership. It's all wrapped up here, but it's in such a short time frame. In verse, it goes on through the Last Supper. You can read it on your own time. Powerful imagery. A lot of sermons have been preached on the facets here. But I think we all know that in this supper, which was a Passover Seder meal, Jesus identified his betrayer as Judas. Verse 26 of chapter 13, Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped." And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Jesus said, "What you do quickly." I think this is the New King James. In the King James is that the sop that was given. Friday evening, our family had the privilege of celebrating a Passover meal. One of my students was doing a Seder, connecting the Jewish tradition with the who Christ, the risen Lord, is. It was a really powerfully done piece. But I wanted to read just a little bit here about the sop, or the matzah, mortar, and bitter herb sandwich, which it was. This bread is actually a piece of really, it's heavily layered with tradition. A pretty important part of the Seder meal. I'll just read through some of the information. As we move to the section where we make a sandwich of the matzah, the bitter herbs, and the mortar, represented by an apple mixture. So we each passed out the matzah at our tables, and then it was broken. The matzah is a unleavened bread. It looks a bit like a great big soda cracker. Some of you are familiar, maybe not. We had to make sure that everybody at the table had some small pieces. And we had sort of a responsive reading. Blessed art thou, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, who made us holy with his holy commandments, and commanded us concerning the eating of this matzah. Then there's some scripture that we worked our way through, and then we ate one piece of matzah dipped in bitter herbs. The bitter herbs was some horseradish. And it is to remind the children of Israel of the bitterness of their suffering in Egypt. But it was powerful. I've had horseradish in my life, but the horseradish that we had on Friday evening was enough to make your hair come unglued. It didn't just make your hair stand up. It was amazing. And I felt like I was suffering. The apple mixture was to remind the children of Israel of the mortar that they made in Egypt. The sandwich was usually made and eaten with lamb if the Passover was celebrated in Jerusalem. If the Passover was celebrated outside of Jerusalem, then lamb was not eaten. But the sandwich was made from the smaller pieces of the broken matzah. The matzah was determined earlier in the evening to represent Jesus Christ. The larger piece had been hidden and then was found later. The smaller piece was made to make the sandwich representing or being the sop. Sandwich, which was made of matzah, bitter herbs, and mortar. The matzah is a symbol of no sin. The tears that had been shed was the bitter herbs, and the mortar was that apple mixture used by the Israelites to build in Egypt. So Jesus answered Peter and he said, one of you will betray me. And John asked who he was, and Jesus answered, he's the one to whom I will give the sop. And at this point, the Passover dinner, Jesus dipped the sop and gave it to a loved one and gave it to Judas. And we talked about at this dinner that the leader of the Seder meal would make a small sandwich, dip it, and give it to a close loved one. It was part of the tradition in the dinner. This action was an action of closeness, of familiarity, of connection. Jesus was showing Judas that he was part of the group of the 12. You are with me, but you're not with me. In Jewish tradition, it was layered with meaning. So, I don't want to waste too much time. Breakfast is coming. But we're working our way through leading up to Jesus' death and resurrection. But here, at this Last Supper, Jesus makes a statement. And we sometimes get so wrapped up in the overall themes and the process of the Holy Week that we miss the reality of the fact that some of these nuggets of Christ's message are packed right here into this week. Just after he had given the sop to Judas, chapter 14, Jesus makes some pretty powerful statements about himself. Verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This statement is not based on what we do. We are wholly and completely completed in Jesus. Danny, you sent me a piece from Alistair Begg this week about the man on the middle cross said, I can come. Alistair Begg takes some time to unwrap the fact that it's not what you do, it's what Jesus did for you. It's not you earning your way into heaven. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is the piece that I'd like to focus on this morning. I want to pull this one out if we can from from the events of Holy Week. This is the exclusivity of Christ. This is the decision that goes beyond all other decisions. I don't know if you noticed the title this morning, and I don't know if it makes any sense to you or not, but I want to propose that in this life there are actually a lot of decisions that you make, and a lot of them fall into the yeah-nah category. Yeah-nah. Can you say that with me? Yeah-nah. Just say it one more time. Yeah-nah. Yeah-huh. This is the sort of decision that goes into choosing what to wear in the morning. You're thumbing through your closet. Yeah-nah. 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 You're going to go through the breakfast line after a while. And some of those decisions are yeah-nah. Like, well, that looked nah. Yeah? Nah. Yeah? In the long scope of things, it's not going to affect your eternal destination if you do or don't eat the first item on the table, and if you do or don't eat this version of cinnamon roll or that. You follow what I mean, right? So at this end of the continuum, there are the yeah-nas. And at this end of the continuum of decision-making, there's the decisions that are life and death. And I would propose that of the most important decisions you will ever make, it is to acknowledge or not acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through Him. There is no other choice that matters like that choice matters. Somewhere just a little bit this side of that is probably who you marry. Dana, you made the right decision, I guess, right? Okay. And then probably on this side of that is what you choose for a job. Maybe what you named your first child. It matters. It matters a lot. But it's definitely on this side of the biggest decision that you'll make. So what's over on this side? Yeah, the yeah-nahs. And on this side is the way beyond yeah-nah. Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. So as you track on through the book of John, we're maybe a two-thirds of the way through the book. The rest of it is devoted entirely to Jesus' crucifixion, death, and then His glorious resurrection. We know, it's been attested to, witnessed, and documented that the tomb is empty, that Christ is alive, and that you are alive through Him, if the choice is one that you've made. In chapter 20, verse 19. Jesus came and stood in the midst of them, and peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you, as the Father sent me, I also send you." That decision of obedience is also well beyond yeah-nah. You have been sent. You have been asked or invited to share the truth of who Jesus is, the power that He gives, the resurrection that He embodied. You have been sent by Christ Jesus to share the truth with others, so that others have a chance to do something beyond the yeah-nah. Thank you for being here. Thank you for accepting Jesus for what he is and what he claims to be. If you have not, a weekend like this is a great time to think it through and to acknowledge that this decision is one that matters. Turn the time over to Dana.